Join me in Matthew 21, please. We will have a series of sermons here for Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Easter sunrise, and then Sunday morning, of course. And then the Sunday following Easter, we will turn our attention to the Psalms in a series that are covering the Messianic Psalms, those Psalms which speak directly to the work of Christ. But for this Easter season, we're going to spend time here in the book of Matthew. So if you would please join me in chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. Hear the inerrant, inspired, written word of the living God. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Did you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. I do pray that the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word. I draw your attention to the title of the sermon that I've given it here, A Humble Entry, A Humble Response. This word humble is a challenging word. We are called on to be humble, which means that we are not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, that we reflect a spirit of deference or submission. And this idea of a spirit of deference, of looking away, not being arrogant, being in submission, is exactly what Jesus wanted to express with his entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. He did not want to look proud and powerful and authoritative, as I've given the children, but wanted to be seen as humble. And we must not lose sight that, as we're given here in Scripture, this was the plan all along. This was the arrangement that God had decreed earlier. We hear from the prophet Zechariah that he was to say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming, humble and mounted on a donkey." In God's decrees from all time, this was the designed way for Jesus to enter into Jerusalem. But it was not simply an entering into Jerusalem as I gave the children. There was great design. And there were several messages to be given here as Jesus came into Jerusalem that day. It had an intended message. And for those who acknowledged Jesus Christ and for those who were planning to overthrow them, the message would be seen very clearly to those whom were targeted. Now, this action by Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem on a donkey like this is what we refer to as an acted parable. A parable in and of itself is a teaching method that uses something known and then take the people to something unknown, and they can easily make the connection. Where here, Jesus, this lesson is taught through the actions of Christ, not so much in his words. He had very little to say except, go get me a donkey. But through his actions, coming into Jerusalem on this donkey and then going directly into the temple, there were great, great symbolic messages that I want to bring to you here. Okay, so first of all, we ask what the message is, but as we always do, we must understand context. And here we must understand the expectation of the people, or at least give some attention to the expectation of the people that saw Jesus coming into Jerusalem that day. All through the Old Testament, the coming of the Messiah was prophesied time and time again, Mashiach, as he was referred to in the Old Testament. And this Mashiach, this Messiah, would be the one that would come in and free Israel from its enemies. He would come in and overthrow the enemies of Israel, and he would bring peace and security from those enemies. And you see, this created a certain expectation of someone bringing in peace, but in their expectation, they developed this military king mindset because they saw their enemy as Rome. And this Roman military that was seizing Israel, that was seizing Jerusalem, they saw the Messiah. They had this expectation that the Messiah would be this military king that would ride in a powerful form and overthrow Rome, and there would be peace and security throughout Israel. So with the coming of Jesus Christ, they thought he was going to be this mighty Messiah. He should have entered Jerusalem, as I gave the children. He should have entered Jerusalem possibly on a great white steed, promoting this power and authority. Because, see, in this time frame, the greatest military war emblem was the horse. It was a great symbol of military might, the horse and carriage of that day. And so this was the expectation. They expected to see this symbol of power and authority coming in. But as Jesus often does, he does not quite meet our expectations. There's always his plan. And you see, quite opposite than this expectation they had was the message Jesus Christ was bringing in. For you see, just as the horse was the symbol of great military power and might, just as I gave the children, this lowly donkey had a symbol of its own. And it was, as I gave the children, of peace and tranquility. When a king would defeat his enemies and there was a time of peace, he would not ride around on a great white horse. He would not ride around on a powerful horse. He would ride around on a donkey. Because there was great symbolism in that he was not afraid of being attacked. He put himself in a very vulnerable position by riding a lowly donkey. Jesus was doing the same thing. Now, this acted parable is communicating many things. First of all, this is the fulfillment of Scripture. As Zechariah has said, your king will come in on a donkey. So, with Jesus coming in on a donkey, he proved himself to be the prophesied Messiah. He was fulfilling prophecy. So those people who had eyes to see and ears to hear, they saw this, remembered Zechariah's teaching, goes, ah, the Messiah. And then secondly, that he would be a king of peace and of gentleness. That he would be the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus Christ's entry into Jerusalem was anything but powerful and authoritative. It was in great deference. It was in great humility. And the symbol was that he was coming in while he knew he would be killed. He came in and gave himself to that. However, his next act that is recording here in the book of Matthew is a sign of anything but one of lowly character. He went straight to the temple. He cleared out the temple of the money changers. But please hear, this was a great symbolic message. Because you see, the people would have gleaned that if he could come in just a simple act, judge these people of the temple, and then create the sentence of that judgment by throwing them out, then he was that Messiah, he was one of judgment, and he was one who could carry out his judgment. Again, pointing directly to the Messiah, pointing directly to God. And you see, this was Jesus' message all along. If you go back and read the chapters leading up to his entry, time and time again, he was giving stories and parables of the judgment coming against Israel, of the judgment coming against the Pharisees. Here, he enacted that judgment. You see, we who lead the church need to listen here very, very carefully, because Jesus has every right and authority to judge his church, to judge the religious leaders, to judge and carry out judgment against those who lead their church, lead the people of God with hollow, mindless types of worship. Worship must be intentional. It must be directed, and it must be according to God's holy word. I don't have choice in how I lead you in worship. As far as the particulars of worship, they're given to me very clearly in the scripture. So we who lead must be very careful. The second message in Jesus judging these money changers here in the temple were that the religious leaders who held great sway and authority in this temple, they were being judged as well. Because you see, Jesus was cleansing it of the one thing they were allowing. So what is he telling the religious leaders? That what you're allowing in my temple is wrong. So his judgment was against these leaders as well, who thought the money changers and the selling of the doves and the pigeons, that's okay, the people have got to go in and offer a clean sacrifice. Why not make it? And see, this is somewhat logical, isn't it? The people were to go into the temple. They were to sacrifice the doves, the sheep, the lambs, the bulls, etc., etc., and they had to be without blemish. And so these people traveling over long distances coming into Jerusalem, by the time this little lamb traveled all that distance to Jerusalem, would not be unblemished. So why not give them a new one? And why not make it convenient? Let's just put it at the front door of the church. Sounds all very logical, doesn't it? It was all very, very wrong. It was all very, very wrong. And so Jesus was judging the religious leaders as well. But Jesus is not finished. As I said, there are incredible, numerous symbolic messages here. The next one I'll give you. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. One sentence. In opposition to what was happening, Jesus revealed what was to happen. This was a place, the temple was a place for the people of God to come and be consoled and tended to, healed, etc., by God himself in and around this temple. The great shepherd of God was bringing healing to the soul and the body of a man. Here in this symbolic healing, Jesus revealed the purpose of the temple, and it was a place where the people of God were to come and to be in the physical, literal presence of God. Quite a contrast to what the money changers were doing. Oh, and there's yet another one. Another message. Verse 15. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, how dare he heal? How dare he show himself to be the Messiah? How dare he? But here it gets deeper. The children start crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The religious leaders were indignant. And he said to them, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise." You see, the children recognized Jesus and the wonders he performed. they knew exactly who he was. And they cried out this great attribute, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, while this was pleasing to Jesus Christ, and it acknowledged him directly again as the Messiah and as the rightful king of Jerusalem in the line of David, this act of the children crying out was insulting to the religious leaders on two levels. First of all, and this is what my grandfather used to teach, children are to be seen and not heard. The children had no place in this society. They should not have even been in the temple. Yet, not only are they in the temple, they are crying out aloud who Jesus Christ is as the Messiah. So, by these children crying out, how dare they? They are crying out and acknowledging Jesus Christ to be the Son of David, the Messiah, which means they were something these religious leaders wouldn't do because of their confused teaching. These small children were smart enough, but also humble enough to not be intimidated by these religious leaders, but cry out in truth who Jesus Christ was. And Jesus is not finished. As I've read here, he said to these religious leaders who were indignant at the children's crying out, he said, have you never read? Now catch that phrase. These religious leaders knew the Old Testament, had it memorized front to back. They had every word numbered. They could tell you the middle word in the text. They could tell you the middle letter in the text. They could tell you how many words came after the middle. They had it memorized to such a degree they could regurgitate it on an instant. And Jesus asks them, have you never read? How insulting. Of course I have. But they had no clue of the teaching of the text. They could number the words. They could memorize it and regurgitate it. But had no clue what it taught. They didn't have a good teacher, Jimmy. Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. This is a portion of Psalm 8, given in a highlighted form. Psalm 8 was written directly about the wonders of God Almighty himself. And so when Jesus asked them, have you never read this, and that the children are giving this praise to me, the Messiah, who are they acknowledging him to be? God. And this is something religious leaders could not do and could not have done in the temple. And again, several things here come to play. Jesus refuses to quiet the children, which is something God ordained. He's acknowledging himself to be God. And like him, it's the humble that pleases him most. These small children, suffer the little children to come unto me. He also taught, unless you're like one of these little children and accept me in my name, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Here these children were putting themselves in the place of understanding and acknowledging the Messiah. But here the religious leaders of the day would not, could not do that. A humble entry on a donkey, but yet received the greatest praise and worship and honor from the humblest among them. And folks, that's our message. That's the message to us about this Palm Sunday. Yes, Jesus Christ came in receiving great praise and honor. The people thought he was the king, the Messiah, and he was. But he came in so very unexpected. And then he was received by the least of them. Folks, that's our place today. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came as a suffering servant, not as a mighty king. He will be worshipped and honored that way as the suffering servant. And so we must maintain that level of humility before him. And again, a lot of this is directed to the religious leaders of the day. Humility. Some of you know it's not a thing I excel in. But we pray. So, we must, as the children, accept humbly our Lord Jesus Christ, and like him, take on the mantle of humility, rather than boastfully fighting insignificant battles. David, I pray that we remember that on Tuesday as we go to Presbytery. That we would humbly accept our Lord Jesus Christ and not give so much overt energy to fighting unimportant religious battles. A humble entry, a humble response, truly triumphant in his entry, but it sure wasn't what the people expected. Let's pray together. Lord, let us accept you as that humble servant on this day. There will be a time of your mighty entry, of your second coming, but today we give attention to your first coming. The message of humility, the message of a perfect life lived, upholding the law, the sacrifice given to pay for the sin, and then the resurrection of which we will remember next Sunday. Let us remember all of that as you have given us to do. But Holy Spirit, come and teach us humility. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.